Hello, movie friends. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk with Amy Choi from the Mashup Americans about the movie that changed her life, The Joy Luck Club. It's okay if you haven't seen it. We're going to give you all of the details you need to follow along. But before we get started, a special shout out to our New York City friends. We're going to be recording a live episode of This Movie Changed Me as part of the Work It Podcasting Festival from WNYC Studios. We're partnering with Newfest's LGBT Film Festival, and I'll be speaking with the fantastic writer, performer, and comedian, Justin Sayre. Join us for all the movie love and fun on November 14th at 7 p.m. at the Green Space. You can buy tickets now at workitevents.com. That's workit, W-E-R-K-I-T, events.com.
My mother started the Joy Luck Club having met all these women in church. Auntie Ame, Auntie Lindo, Auntie Ying Ying. For 30 years, these women feasted, forgot past wrongs, laughed and played, lost and won, and told the best stories. Each week they hoped to be lucky, and that hope was their only joy. Their connection with each other had more to do with hope than joy or luck.
The Joy Luck Club is based on this beautiful book by the writer Amy Tan, and it tells the story of four different women who immigrated from China, who moved to San Francisco. All four of them have different lives, different stories to tell, but they all share the same thing, in that they're the mothers of grown Chinese-American daughters. Throughout the movie, we see the stories of the mothers and the daughters intertwine and clash.
Look, she doesn't want it too short. Otherwise, it'll be too tight for the wedding. And we don't want it looking too weird or kinky. Isn't that right, Ma? Not too kinky?
Why does my daughter think she's translating English for me?
Maybe I don't go.
What do you mean?
Maybe I don't go to your wedding.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Maybe already ridiculous. They're too ridiculous for future husband's family.
I could see her face looking at me, but not seeing me.
When I first watched this movie, when it came out in 1993, I was too young to really understand the special nature of what I was watching, the secret world of women on screen, together, in every scene, talking about who they are and their dreams and their hopes. Even though I watched the movie with my mother, herself an immigrant, and myself an immigrant as well, and could relate to the experiences that I was seeing on screen, the way that our cultures clash with American culture, and the history of what we carry within us always and we can't leave behind. But it wasn't until watching it now that I really came to understand just what a privilege it is to be able to spend this time with these women and hear their stories and understand that it's a secret club I get to belong to.
You win like your mother?
I only played once with some Jewish friends in college.
Jewish mahjong. Not the same thing. Entirely different. Now, Chinese mahjong, very tricky. You have to watch what everybody throw out. And you keep all this in your head. And if nobody play well, then the game is just like Jewish mahjong. No strategy. You American girls think Chinese, Jewish, what's the difference?
They were worried. In me, they see their own daughters, just as ignorant of all the hopes and dreams our mothers brought to this country.
Amy Choi knows what it's like to be part of that secret club. When she first saw the Joy Luck Club, she felt seen for the first time. The women on screen, even though they were Chinese and Chinese-American, she herself is Korean-American, she'd never seen Asian women on screen reflecting back her own experience and her family's experience. And it has ended up being a source of inspiration for her work as a writer and also as the creator of the Mashup Americans, a podcast, a website, and a community that has been all about how it is that you reconcile your identity as an American and also as an immigrant. I'd like you to take just a moment. I want to ask you to close your eyes and think about the first time that you saw the Joy Luck Club. You know, how old you were, where you were, how it made you feel, and then I'll chime in after the 10 seconds are up.
Okay.
So what memories came up for you as you were thinking about that?
By the way, 10 seconds feels very long.
Right? That's when you realize, let me tell you, my struggle with meditation is real. I'm like, what? This isn't done yet? It's only been 20 seconds? I'm done.
Oh, my God. Yes. That Headspace app, which I try all the time, like every 3 months I try it again. I'm like, this is not for me. I'm just designed to be high strung for the rest of my life.
Just done. Accept it.
Well, so it was interesting because I think I grew up in... I was born in 1979, so I feel like a lot of, like, the late 80s, 90s were my formative years. Mm. And, like, I can't remember exactly when I saw the movie. I know I read the book before I saw the Joy Luck Club. Mm. So I don't – it's one of those things where, like, I don't remember not knowing that story as, like, an adolescent or as, like, a girl who was kind of falling in love with reading. Mm. I will say I grew up in – Whitey White, Mick Whiterson, White Town. I grew up in a fancy suburb in the North Shore of Chicago, only two towns over from the hometown of Conrad Jarrett in Ordinary People.
Oh, my God. That says a lot.
It really does. I lived in the Jewish suburb that was right next to, like, essentially, like, one town over from Lake Forest, where that movie is set. So seeing that on your show was kind of amazing. But it was really, like, a lonely way to grow up as the kid of an immigrant, where nobody looked like me except for my family. You know, like, people didn't, like, kind of all of the connections and customs that you get with your community was something that my family had, but it was very much something that was, like, separate from, like, our, quote, real lives. Mm. That was, like, our Korean life, our Korean family, or our Korean, what we did outside of what our daily life was like, which had me going to school or junior high and high school. There was, like, very little connection to other first generation people like me. Mm. So my memory of seeing the movie for the first time and reading the book, again, as, like, a happy-go-lucky but pretty lonely kid, it was like, oh, my God, there are people like me.
Yeah.
And they exist out in the world, and they are important enough to have a movie about them. And then I think also the idea that... you know, the movie, I think it can be heavy-handed in how you, like, all the relationships and the pieces and the stories interlock. That said, I think it was also the first time that, like, I realized that, like, my family didn't exist in a vacuum. And, like, the American idea is that you're remaking yourself all the time. And kind of the story that we had was that, like, we came here to build our lives and, like, give me and my sister opportunity. And so it, like, always felt very much like only that moment that existed. And the movie was, like, the first time I was like, oh, right. There were, like, steps and stories that got us here. And I was connected to all of them because it's so clearly in the film, like, lays out. We're not just, like, born fresh. You know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
We come with, like, ancestors and families and, like, a whole history that's wound up in that. And that, I think, for me, seeing the movie was, like, pretty mind-blowing for my young self.
I was raised the Chinese way. I was taught to desire nothing, to swallow other people's misery, and to eat my own bitterness. And even though I taught my daughter the opposite, but still, she came out the same way. Maybe it is because she was born to me and she was born a girl. And I was born to my mother and I was born a girl. All of us like stairs. One step after another. Going up, going down, but always going the same way.
And what you're saying, you know, about what we carry with us, I think so much about, I think it's, and correct me if I'm mispronouncing, is it Aunt May? It's Rose's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She says it to her, she said, you know, I was born to my mother and I was born a girl. All of us like stairs, one step after another, going up, going down, but always going the same way. And that idea you're talking about is what we inherit from our parents' past, right? And in this movie, I think the thing that is so remarkable about it for me is how it talks about what we inherit as daughters of mothers, but it's also what we inherit as the children of immigrants.
The fucking stairs.
Yeah.
I didn't remember, like, I grew up with that feeling of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until rewatching the movie this week that, like, that exact line.
Yeah.
Like, I got goosebumps. Like, I just, like, kind of, like.
It stunned me. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
There is, the stairs is a perfect metaphor for this.
Yes. And I think, you know, in the past couple of years, there's been the research coming out about epigenetics and how, you know, our actual genes are being informed by the lived experiences of our ancestors, like to your parents and to our grandparents, and that it transforms
us. This movie is like an infomercial for epigenetics.
Yes. You know, and I think part of that is like, you know, we think about, like, we carry the stories of, if we allow ourselves to, we can carry the stories of our families and our generations past, or we can try and cut them off. And I think what the movie shows and what I am absorbing as an adult is that cutting them off is not so successful. Like, you can't, you don't just, like, even moving across continents doesn't allow you to not be from where you're from.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's probably a more eloquent way to say that, but that we carry all this with us. And it's a way of, like, how do we actually integrate it into our lives? And try and be whole with it if it's not a positive experience that you don't necessarily want to impact you every day.
What? Still mad at Waverly?
How could I be mad at someone with all that style? It's just a shame that I wasn't born that way.
So it's me you're mad at?
No. I'm just sorry that you got stuck with such a loser. That I've always been so disappointing.
What do you mean, disappoint? Piano?
Everything. My grades, my job, not getting married. Everything you expected of me.
Not expect anything. Never expect. Only hope. Only hoping best for you. It's not wrong to hope.
No? Well, it hurts. Because every time you hope for something I couldn't deliver, it hurt.
You know, even though I am not Asian, I'm not Chinese like this movie
portrays. Are you sure?
Well, I gotta tell you, watching this movie, I was like, maybe my mom's Chinese. Because there are things that some of these mothers say that verbatim my mother has said. But what I love about the experience of watching it is how it captures what you were talking about in your own family growing up, about these two different worlds. And that there's very clear lines about where you are, who you are, and where you're not. Right. And for me, I completely relate it to the women in the movie. Like, at home, you speak your language. At home, you have your culture. And then the outside world, that's a whole other world that you don't really let in. And so much of what the movie navigates to is, what do you do when you are the daughter of immigrants and you have this culture and identity, but you're also dealing with the realities of dating other people who aren't from this culture and identity? I love the scene where I think it's Waverly, you know, introduces her white Anglo boyfriend to her mom. And, you know, her mom just kind of gives her this smile and a look. And, like, later on when they're in the car, you know, because she's going to marry this man, this guy named Rich. You know, he asks her, like, how did your mom react when you told her about the wedding?
So how'd your mom react when you told her about the wedding?
It never came up.
How come?
She'd rather get rectal cancer.
Wow.
She'd rather have rectal cancer. Oh, God, it's so good. It's just so good. But yeah, and I think one of the things that, like, now seeing the film with a different sort of critical eye,
mm-hmm.
in all of the current scenes where the stories are all weaving in and out of this big birthday dinner where all the extended friends and family are all there, that you see so many different kinds of Chinese person.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not Chinese. I'm first-generation Korean-American. But to see the varieties, the representations in this film of different archetypes of Asians, so mm-hmm. much so that there are no archetypes,
yeah.
is really profound. And thinking back 25 years, so radical.
His dad owned a publishing empire. His mom's family had wineries. I'd never been around people like this.
Very nice. Dad, Mom?
Hi.
This is Rose Shu, my girlfriend.
The one word sent me into total shock, from which I'm afraid I've never quite recovered.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
I want you to know, Rose, that we're a very liberal family.
I couldn't believe what she was telling me. It was straight out of some awful racist movie like The World of Susie Wong.
Ted is going to be working with his father in the company, and he's going to be judged by people of a different standard. Publishers, authors, critics, and their wives. And they won't be as understanding as we are.
Mrs. Jordan, you sound as if Ted and I are getting married. That's hardly the case.
Oh, I know, dear. It's just that, well, the way the world is, how unpopular Vietnam was.
I'm not Vietnamese. I'm American.
I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Amy about the Joy Luck Club. If you haven't seen it, we'd love to give you the gift of watching it. Be the first person to email us at tmcm@onbeing.org about the movie, and we're going to send you your very own copy. Once again, that's tmcm@onbeing.org, and thanks for helping us expand our movie-loving empire. I love watching movies, all kinds of movies, but there's something especially gratifying about seeing characters or actors that I can relate to as a Colombian-American woman. Feeling Seen is at the root of The Mashup Americans, a podcast that I love, hosted by Amy Choi and Rebecca Lehrer. The show is by, for, and all about hyphen America. People whose lives cross cultures and identities, like mine, where Spanglish is a native tongue, and being able to navigate multiple cultures is celebrated for the superpower that it is. You can listen to The Mashup Americans today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss my guest spot on their next episode. And the other thing that I find so remarkable about this movie, and honestly, I can think of no other movie that captures so clearly my relationship with my own mother, the guilt. I wrote this all in capital letters because I was like, I just got to say this. The guilt, the constant disappointment, never doing anything good enough to please your mother. This mm-hmm. movie captures that feeling and what it feels like mm-hmm. for a daughter to feel that. But something that I saw last night was you also see how this affects the mothers. How even yeah. them themselves putting this pressure on their daughters is such a byproduct of how they feel about themselves, mm-hmm. right? And how this lineage and history has been passed down. So I just want to put that out there to you. Talk about the guilt, the disappointment, that feeling that the movie captures of never doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think something about that story that is so raw is that it is supremely honest about that.
Yeah.
I carry all of that. I think that's partially an immigrant thing.
Yeah.
I won't speak for all immigrants, but the idea that, like, the story that I grew up with was that my parents came here and sacrificed their lives for me.
Yeah.
So there's no greater pressure than that. To succeed and then also to succeed in a way that pleases them.
Yeah.
Which it's that second half of it that I'm like, I don't know if we're ever going to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that is striking about the experience of watching it as a kid and relating to the girls in it so much, yeah. the daughters. They ultimately, and their relationships with their mothers are fraught in very distinct ways. But then you also see, like those stairs, the mothers are also all daughters of other women.
Yeah. You see that history portrayed in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And what they offer in all of them is like a resolution or a flicker of hope that despite all of the agony of the guilt and of never yeah. being able to please and like wondering if you're living your life the right way, mm-hmm. that there's a resolution to that that I think as a kid was deeply important to me. And now as an adult, I don't know if I'm ever going to have that with my mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if my mom's ever going to be happy with the life choices I made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my mom is going to feel like her sacrifice was worthy, that like the life that I live now is worthy of the sacrifice that she made. And that's kind of like a brutal truth of life that's not the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. To have to reconcile that, right?
Yeah. And I think, but that's also like, you know, what do we all crave in life? That we get in this movie is that moment where, like, June and her mom, before her mom dies, her mother sees her.
She says those words.
And she actually says it, right? Which is something that, like, I think we hear now in 2018, that when the book was written in 88, 89, was not a thing that people said.
Yeah.
And so I don't, you know, and, like, that's, like, the resolution. That's what we all want in the world, like, as human beings. And the work that I do as a daughter of a mother is to be like, if that doesn't happen, I have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So, like, to then watch the movie as the mother of a daughter and be like, what do I hope for her? Like, what are the stairs that are part of her staircase? That, like, kind of broke open those questions for me in a way that I hadn't thought about.
June, since your baby time, I wear this next to my heart. Now you wear next to yours. It will help you know. I see you. I see you. You have style. No one can teach. Must be born this way. I see you.
Well, and something that I saw last night in rewatching the movie is that idea of hope, right? They even say in the movie that their connection with each other had to do more with hope than joy or luck. Like, literally, that's one of the first things we hear in the movie.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, June's father tells her that her mother had no hope left for herself because she had lost these two daughters when she was immigrating, getting out of her country, tragically going through this trauma. And she had no hope left for herself. So instead, she put all of her hope in her daughter, in this daughter that was born in America. Mm-hmm. That idea of hope is something that, honestly, even though it's like so blatant throughout the movie, never struck me when I first saw it as a kid. But now I think about all those hopes and dreams that our parents have for us, you know, not just immigrant parents, but parents in general.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that idea of hope plays a role in your own life as a mother and just even how you view that differently.
This is a very lighthearted conversation.
I know, I feel like we should also say that this movie is really funny. Like, it has a lot of humor in it. Because there's so many funny moments, because we're making it sound like such a therapy session. It's both of those things.
Yes, it is all of it. It contains multitudes. That's why it's an amazing movie. I'm going to think about the hope thing. But one thing that in rewatching it now as a grown-ass person, I was like, listen, they needed a better costumer for the modern day versions, because not that many fucking Asian people are wearing shoes inside the house. In fact, I would venture that zero are, when there are scenes when like everybody's wearing heels in the house
lies.
At the party.
Lies.
Lies. Yeah. Lies. All of them. I was like, why are they wearing shoes? Even my husband, my Colombian husband, was like, they would never be. Why are they? I can't even focus on what's happening here. Why are they wearing those shoes?
You're so distracted by this. I know.
Yes.
I agree. I agree completely.
It's wrong. I was like, that's where you needed more Asian people that had opinions that were listened to in the costume choices.
I was going to say, they had a lot of Asian people working on this movie, but apparently nobody was listening to them.
Oh, God. Anyway, so I needed to get the shoe thing off my chest. Hope. Well, I think, you know, it's funny. I don't think that that struck me either.
Yeah.
As like a younger person. And it wasn't like I watched it one time as a young person. I was like, I watched it a million times.
Yeah, neither did I. I watched it with my mother. We both cried and we never talked about it, but we both watched it and cried.
I obviously never watched it with my mother. But when I think about Hope now in this particular moment, Hope feels both essential, like more essential than it did, and it also feels more fragile.
Hmm.
And I think that impacts how I parent and how I think about what I hope for my kids and who I hope that they will be. My daughter, who was born in 2015, I was like kind of pregnant with her at a different time. I had a very traumatic pregnancy with her. And then she was sick when she was a baby, which was very, very scary. And she's always proven to be like a fighter. And my hope for her and my goals in how I parent her are very different. Like, whereas like with my son, our goals are very much to erase traditional masculinity, essentially to gentle him, because the world will always make him tough, or like tell him that that's who he's supposed to be. And with my daughter, it's to shield her from the world, making her gentle in some, like, I of course want her to live a life of service the way that I want for my whole family, but I want her to be a fire. Like, I feel like me being a successful mother to her will be to make sure that neither me, because I think certainly mothers have the potential to do this, or the world dampens that.
Do you know what you want? I mean, from him.
Respect. Tenderness.
Then tell him now. Do not come back until he give you those things. With both hands open.
I can't.
Losing him does not matter. It is you who will be found.
Amy Choi is the co-founder and editorial director of The Mashup Americans, an awesome podcast, website, and newsletter that is your guide to hyphen America. Her work has appeared in Bloomberg Business Week, Women's Wear Daily, TED, and Salon. I highly recommend you check out her deeply moving Shondaland piece, A Letter to My Daughter About Heroes. It stayed with me for weeks. This is our last episode of This Movie Changed Me's first season. We've had so much fun, and we've loved hearing from you about what you've been connecting with, what movies you've been watching, and what movies have changed you. If you've been digging what we do, don't worry. We're going to be back with a second season of Life-Changing Movies in 2019. But to make sure you don't miss our return, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And more importantly, don't stop watching movies. This Movie Changed Me is produced by Maya Terrell, Chris Hegel, Tony Lee Yu, and Kristen Lin, and is an On Being Studios production. I'm Lily Percy. Winter's coming, so let the movie binge watching begin.